Everybody, this is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com. And it's, as always, available as a download on iTunes. Today, as always, I have the privilege of talking with yet another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I'd like to say hello to Lisa. How are you today, Lisa?
Hi, Pam. I'm very, very good.
I'm so delighted that you're on the show today. I'm really looking forward to hearing your story and learning more about you. So to get us started, could you introduce yourself? Tell us who you are and where you're from and what you do to keep busy.
Well, hi everyone. I'm Lisa Wilder. I grew up in Ottawa, Canada. I've lived in Vancouver, where I went to school. And I currently live in Toronto, where I've been here now for 18 years. I've been involved in the Canadian stuttering association for about 11 years. I've had various roles. I've realized that my best skills involve being behind the scenes more than in any leadership roles. So that's what I do now. I'm the webmaster for our website, and I'm also the web editor. I like to get different people contributing to the website. We have a lot of really good articles up there now by different people, and I urge everyone to go have a look. And it's kind of a labor of love for me, and I think that's how our organization right now is lucky enough to have a lot of people involved in it, and we're entirely volunteer. So for everyone involved, it's a labor of love, and we have our annual conference is coming up in October.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's you shared a lot of great information. How would people find the Canadian Stuttering Association website?
Oh yeah. It's at www.stutter.ca.
Oh, okay. Well, that's easy enough. And you said that you've been involved with the association for about 11 years?
Yeah, yes.
How did you find it?
Well, actually, I was I've known about it. The organization began in 1991, and I did attend the conferences in the 1990s, and I wasn't really involved in the organization then, other than attending the conferences. And when I moved to Toronto, I got involved in a conference in 2007, helping to plan it.
Okay. Oh, wow. Wow. So is it large? I mean, are there a lot of members?
Well, we have I think we're at about maybe 250 members or right now, and but we have a lot of, we do, our website gets a lot of web traffic. You don't have to be a member to look at our website or to attend our conference. If you're a member, you get our annual news, or rather our monthly newsletter, email newsletter.
Oh, all right. Wow. So are there a lot of young people involved in the organization?
Yeah, I think so. We do have young people. On our last conference in 2017, we had at our conference, and we had a couple of workshops aimed at teens, a workshop aimed at the family, at how children and parents deal with stuttering together in the family. And these workshops were very well attended.
Oh, great. And pardon all the questions, I'm just curious. do members get an opportunity to meet throughout the year? Are there support groups and such, or meetups?
You know, that is something we need to work on. We don't have enough support groups right now. There just isn't. We don't have the people who are leading them. We do need to work on that, on being able to provide more opportunities to meet up during the year, and not just at the conference.
Yeah. I wondered about that because, of course, I'm in the U.S. and I'm part of the National Stuttering Association, and we have chapters all over the United States, one or two sometimes in each state. But I know that the U.S. geographically is different than Canada. But I think that that's one of the strengths of our association, is that people have that opportunity to connect monthly, and not just have to wait until once a year. So I hope that you guys are able to figure out a way perhaps to make that happen, and you know, provide additional support opportunities to those that need it or want it. So what's it been like for you as a woman who stutters? Early on, you know, you mentioned that you only found the Canadian Association in the 90s. What was it like for you growing up and as a young woman?
Well, I think I've been stuttering ever since I learned how to talk. So it's always been there. I had speech therapy at a very early age. This would have been in the 1970s. Speech therapy has changed a lot since then. I think for the better. I think the field as a whole, they try to have a more holistic attitude about it, and helping the whole person and not just being obsessed with fluency, which was the attitude then. Mm. And I don't think it helped very much, at least not me. And so I do like the way, when I do a lot of research now, one thing I do in our conferences is I do a workshop about research and new ideas surrounding speech therapy. But I guess growing up, I've been lucky. Because in my jobs and in my life in general, most people I've met have been very supportive of me.
That is lucky, because I know that's not everybody's experience with stuttering. As I'm sure you know, from meeting other people who stutter, and of course through your research, people often report being bullied, being excluded, you know, being made fun of, being assumed less competent, and all that. So it's always heartening to hear from somebody that had good support systems as they were coming up, and that, you know, people gave you the benefit of the doubt for the intelligent, warm person that you are. So I'm glad to hear that. Was it like that for you in college as well?
Yes, I think so. I was never someone who had a ton of friends, but I had some good good friends, and yes, it was. I think that I've been lucky in that regard.
Did you have therapy as an adult?
Yes, I have. I've had different kinds of therapy, and it's I guess I find the maintenance aspect difficult. It can it can be easy to settle in to the comfortable way that things are, and not, and to avoid change. You know, if things are comfortable, it can be difficult to make that leap and make that effort to change. I think that maybe in a way, if things are going bad, that's incentive to make the change that you may need to make in life. So if people are having a really hard time and experiencing bad attitudes from other people, or even their own feelings, that look at ways of whether it's an attitude change. It doesn't have to be speech therapy. It can just be a change in your own attitude, because that is what makes a big difference in the end, the biggest difference of all, I think.
Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree with that. I did speech therapy myself as an adult about 10 years ago, for just a short time. And the therapy that was offered, I went to a college clinic type of a setting, and the therapy was provided by graduate students studying to be speech language pathologists. And what they offered was strictly fluency shaping therapy. And I did not take to that at all, because I had been covert for many, many years. And what I needed was what you just said. I needed that change in attitude so that I could work on self-acceptance. And ultimately, I needed to stutter. Not to have my true voice further masked, I thought, by fluency techniques and strategies. So ultimately, what really helped me was a change in attitude, going from feeling deep shame about stuttering to a more healthy attitude that, hey, this is me, and it's okay. And I had to really come to terms with that. It didn't happen overnight, but that, I think, was a healthier journey for me. And I think I landed on the other side. So yeah, you're right. That whole change in attitude and mindset can be hugely freeing for a person, particularly for a woman, I think, but I'm a little biased. So what kinds of tips or advice might you offer to younger women coming up behind us that maybe are struggling in their journey with being a person who stutters?
Well, my first piece of advice would be, don't care so much what other people think. Now, I know that's easier said than done. I mean, getting to that stage, like, you said it requires a reassessment of our own mental attitudes, of our attitudes and our thoughts and what we tell ourselves every day. Speech therapy is a good option if that is what a person feels is right for them, but it may not be. I would just say to look at all your options in life, and if you think stuttering is holding you back, you need to face that, and deal with it in a way that's right for you.
Excellent advice. Now, I want to just go back to one thing that you mentioned. You said that you do a lot of research and then present on that research at your annual conference. Do you talk about updates in the field or different types of therapy that's available, or what is it that you actually share with attendees?
Well, I tried to discuss updates in research, because I'm not a speech pathologist or a doctor. It can be very technical stuff that I talk about, and I do the best I can. I do a lot of heavy reading, and I try to depict it in a way that I would understand if I hadn't done the reading as I have. I tried to depict it in a way that people will, whether they're speech and language pathologists themselves or just people who stutter, I like to make it accessible. On my last workshop, I did talk a lot about the way speech therapy has changed, and how in the 1990s and 2000s, speech therapy has tried to look at more psychological approaches and what's influenced a lot of psychologists today have had an influence on speech pathology, and I tried to talk about that a bit. So I look at everything I can.
That's great. It gives people options, it sounds like, and it also spares people, if you will, the need to do extensive research on their own if you're already doing it for them. So, that's one wonderful. Have you guys already started planning for the 2018 conference?
Yes, yeah, so we have, and we have a venue all ready to go, and that of course has to be done almost a year in advance. And because we get over 100 people attending, we need a good venue, and we're already accepting applications. For a workshop, anyone who has a workshop can send in an application, and that's at our website, www.stutter.ca. And yeah, we're already talking about it and getting ready.
Oh, okay, great, great. And these are always on a Saturday.
Yes, and it's a full day. It's a long day because we have so much to pack into it. And we offer a lunch with your fee so that people can take the lunch hour as an opportunity to talk and socialize and get to know people or talk to people you haven't seen in a year since the last conference or whatever you want you want.
Well, it sounds great. I'm gonna have to put that on my bucket list to do at some point. I actually looked up how far it was from where I am in New York to Toronto, and it would be quite a drive for just one day, but maybe one day I will, get there because I think it's important to find out how other areas and countries, approach stuttering and what type of support is available. And I'd really like to check that out one time. So, this has been great. This has been like a real quick seminar and overview on the Canadian Stuttering Association. I thank you so much for being a guest and sharing all that you have. And I'm sure a lot of listeners are going to feel inspired by what they've heard and what you've shared. So thank you.
I mean, you're welcome, Pam, and I enjoyed it, and thanks for asking me to be here.
So glad I did. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.